Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. You may want to get your Bible now and turn to Matthew chapter 15 and 16. We're studying a series of lessons on the life of Christ and looking at a harmony of the Gospels. And we have come to Peter's confession where he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And we're looking at some material leading up to this. And particularly, we want to look now at the passage, Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 20. And I will read that and then turn to some of Elam's notes on this passage. These are notes that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday schools of November the 16th, 1924. Now, before we do that, I want to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. But now let me read to you this from Matthew chapter 15. This is the chapter before Peter's great confession, and we were reading from this in the last class session, so I'm going to read this again and then turn to some of Elam's notes on this passage. Here it is. It says that then there come to Jesus from Jerusalem Pharisees and scribes, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." And he answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God? Because of your tradition. For God said, Honor thy father and thy mother. And he that speaketh evil of father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, That wherewith thou mightest been profited by me is given to God, he shall not honor his father. And ye have made void the word of God because of your tradition, you hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men. And he called to him the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which entereth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which proceedeth out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Then came the disciples and said to him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant with my heavenly Father planted not shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind guide the blind, both shall fall into the pit. And Peter answered and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And he said, Are ye also even yet without understanding? Perceive ye not that whatsoever goeth into the mouth passeth into the belly and is cast into the draught? But the things which proceed out of the mouth cometh forth out of the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart come forth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, railings. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not the man. Now turning to Elam's notes, we see the apostles were not to oppose the errors of these blind leaders, but to disregard their criticisms and to preach the truth right on, regardless of the offense it gave them, while trying to teach them was casting pearls before swine, or throwing that which is holy to dogs. Preaching the truth offends some today. Still, it must be preached. Wearied by these contentions and the importunate and multitudes which thronged him every day, where, depriving him of sleep, rest, and repose. He sought again solitude for the purpose of communion with God and for a convenient season to further instruct the apostles. He went over the sea to a desert place. The people followed and interfered in Mark chapter 6, 31 through 34. This time he went in quite a different direction, into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, possibly into the hills east of these cities, beyond the limits of Galilee, and upon Gentile soil. This is the first recorded instance in the history of Jesus when he went out of Palestine. Here Jesus healed the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman of an unclean spirit. From the borders of Tyre, Jesus went through Sidon into the Sea of Galilee and through the midst of the borders of Decapolis. And here he healed a deaf and dumb man, Mark 7, 32 through 37. On a nearby mountain, he healed many and fed 4,000, besides women and children, on 7 loaves and a few small fishes, Matthew 15, 29 through 38. From this place, he recrossed the sea into the vicinity of Magadan and Dalmatina, which were on the western shore. He was again attacked by the Pharisees, this time in company with the Sadducees, and he reproved their hypocrisy. Again, he crossed the sea to Bethsaida, where he fed the 5,000, warned his disciples against teaching the Sadducees and Pharisees and healing a blind man. Thence, it is probable, Jesus went in the parts of Caesarea Philippi. Now let's look at the explanatory notes. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Matthew chapter 16, 13. Now when Jesus came into the parts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Mark 8 and verse 27 says, Jesus went forth and his disciples into the village of Caesarea Philippi. Parts, as Matthew puts it, means the country surrounding the city. And then Jesus went through the towns of that country, no doubt teaching the Jews. Again, Mark, the same verse, 8 and verse 27 says, And on the way, Luke 9, 18 says that Jesus was alone, praying with his disciples when he asked the question, Who do men say that the Son of Man is? In his humility, and because he was in the flesh, he calls himself the Son of Man. He frequently thus spoke of himself. The expression itself means that he took upon him the characteristics of man, just like the words the Son of God means that he had the characteristics of God. Son of Man means Jesus was a man. Son of God means Jesus was God. All the miraculous, benevolent works of Jesus were to convince the world that he is the promised seed of Abraham, the long-looked-for Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. If he is not this, he is a false, a blasphemer, and an impostor. The multitudes had flocked to him by the thousands and had seen and enjoyed his various and numerous miracles. Now, what do they say of him? He knew, of course, but he desired an expression from the apostles and to bring out and strengthen their faith. And so Matthew chapter 16, 14, we read, And they said, Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. This was the opinion of Herod Antipas and others, that is, that he was John the Baptist, as we see in Matthew 14, verses 1 through 12. Herod thought that John had risen from the dead. Elijah of old had restored the true worship of God. and his return to the earth was expected by the old prophet, words of the old prophet, Malachi 4 and verse 5. Others said he was Jeremiah, one of the prophets. They thought he was one of the old prophets risen from the dead. They all classed him with the prophets, which was of a high honor, but not yet sufficient honor for Jesus. He was much more than this. But for their misconceptions and previous erroneous opinions as to what the Messiah was to do and to be, they doubtless would have accepted him as the Son of God and as the Christ. All his disciples with the apostles had these erroneous conceptions, but they were willing to learn and did learn of him until they were led into the clearer sunlight of the true nature of his spiritual kingdom. If one will only study and learn, one can come to the knowledge of the truth. Have you ever thought why they might have confused Jesus with John the Baptist? The work of Jesus was closely associated with John the Baptist. And as John the Baptist was preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," so also Jesus was preaching the same thing. Have you ever wondered why they may have confused Jesus with Elijah? Elijah was a prophet that appeared suddenly on the scene, and he was also a worker of great wonders. There are 7 miracles we know about by the hand of Elijah, and 14 by the hand of Elisha, that prophet that followed him. And perhaps Jesus appearing suddenly on the scene and doing these signs and wonders had reminded them of Elijah. And then there is Jeremiah, that weeping prophet that was rejected in Jerusalem. Well, Jesus came into his own, and his own received him not. And that Jeremiah had talked about a new covenant that God would establish with the house of Israel, and Jesus was talking about a new covenant to come in the kingdom of heaven. So because of the content of his message and the rejection that he had of those in Jerusalem, some may have associated with him with Jeremiah. I want you to think about who they're comparing Jesus to. If anyone were to compare one of us to John the Baptist or to Elijah or to Jeremiah, we would probably think of that as a great compliment to us because those are wonderful godly men. But in this instance, when they thought Jesus might have been John the Baptist or Elijah or Jeremiah, it is a compliment rather to them. And so as we read in Elam's notes, their thoughts of Jesus would be clarified, and they would be assured by the time Jesus ascended into heaven that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. And we read the confession that Peter made in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 15. Jesus said, "Whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That word, Christ, is the same word in the New Testament as the Old Testament word, Messiah. The word Messiah comes from the Hebrew into the English. The word Christ comes from the Greek into the English. But they're the same word. They mean the same thing. They mean the Anointed One. And the Jews had long looked for one that would be anointed as a prophet and as a king. And that Anointed One would come, that Messiah. Jesus is that one anointed, chosen of God, beloved of God, chosen to sit on the throne, to be both the king and the priest. And we might add into that the prophet, because prophets too were anointed. And so when we say Jesus is the Christ, we are identifying him as the fulfillment of that long expectation the Jews had for that Messiah that was to come and save them.